Hello.
Yes, sir, Mr. President.
Well, I see Kennedy got smoked out.
Well, he sure surprised me.
You know what I think may have happened?
I think he pulled.
No, I'll lay you money that he pulled by telephone or something, and he might have found that there was strong support, or he may have talked to his people around and just sort of sensed the tide. What's your guess?
I think we might have smoked him out, unfortunately. I'm kind of sorry we did in a way, except
no.
It was a hell of a good statement.
No, that doesn't hurt us at all.
But what we did, we tipped off three columnists. We know that Evans and Novak were calling his office yesterday. We called at noon, and his press secretary said he has not issued a statement. He is not going to issue a statement, and you can put that down. That's it. And then at 2:30, he put it out. And of course, it was an effusive statement.
Yeah, Alderman said it was almost sickening.
Well, it was. Of all the years that I've watched the Kennedys in operation,
never praised anybody yet.
I've never seen one like that.
What do you have it there?
Yes, I think I do, Mr. President. Let me just dig into my folder here. Well, I can tell you the news summary statement. Maybe you saw that.
No, I didn't read it today. What did it say?
Kennedy issued a statement of, according to the AP, called it of effusive praise for the president's initiative. Rarely he said as... Oh, here, I have the actual statement. I can read you the... I wish to add my own congratulations to the overwhelming approval that President Nixon has already received for the dramatic announcement of his plan to visit China. Every president has immense potential for leadership in the nation's foreign affairs, but rarely, I think, has the action of any president so captured the imagination and support of the American people as President Nixon's magnificent gesture last week for the improvement of our relations with China. Then he goes on, I don't share the views of some that the president's initiative is necessarily a step with obvious, immediate, and long-range domestic advantage. Perhaps some advantage will materialize, and perhaps not. What is clear, however, is the great expectations that have already been raised by the announcement of the visit itself. The hopes for peace, now set in motion, are as vast as the imagination of man. We know that harmonious relations between America and China will have enormous benefit on all of our other vital foreign policy issues of our time, especially on issues like peace in Vietnam, stability in Asia, progress towards nuclear control and disarmament. He just goes on. It's President Nixon will carry the prayers of every citizen with him to Peking, and the cause of peace will be the richer.
Oh, boy.
It frankly doesn't even sound like it.
Maybe he's trying to... No. He's gone out so far here that maybe he's trying to build it up so that it doesn't reach... Oh, no. No.
No.
It's hard to figure what...
Well, what is especially hard to figure is that...
Waited so long?
His office was... sending off press queries. We had someone calling him three times a day. And they were extremely annoyed the last call that we made, which was about noon, and just said there will be no statement, period. And we know that other columnists were calling. And I think they finally decided that the thing wasn't going to backfire, that there were no negatives in it, and that you had really caught the public imagination in an extraordinary way. And you just better get on board and not get left off.
Yeah.
I really think that's what's involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
He sure fooled me because it's very unlike him to...
Right.
Now, of course, he came back this afternoon and gave a... Ed Brook told me this morning that he was giving a very damning speech on housing.
No.
We hadn't done enough for public housing. And
that's all right.
So he's going to...
Let him yak all he wants about that.
That's right. He's going to come right back.
Ed Brook must feel pretty good.
Ed is about as high as I think I've ever heard of.
As he will tell you, he advocated this to me when we were flying on the airplane one time.
Well, he also told me that when he met with you and Henry that there'd been some vague discussion that he kind of got the picture.
That's right. That's right. He was told.
He plans to give
And he said, tell him that when you call him back that I think that he can, I want him to reveal that with my permission, that when he was traveling with us in the campaign, we had a long talk on the plane one day, and he said that the most important single thing we could do in foreign policy was the China Initiative.
Oh, that's good.
Then tell him that I think it would be good if he said that.
Well, he's planning early next week, Mr. President, to give a major foreign policy speech, which he's going to advertise in advance, and in which he's going to say that I have had some differences with the administration. But I want to say whatever differences I have had, I have none now. I'm in total support. And perhaps he hasn't come all the way on this, although I'm working on him, perhaps announce that he would drop any opposition to the ABM this year. You know, he's been one of the
right.
leaders in the
right.
ABM fight.
Right.
And that would give
until so that the president can have a chance to negotiate.
That's right. And it would give him some drama to the speech and some reason for the speech.
You can tell him that I think it would be helpful if he would say that very thing that we talked on the plane and so forth.
I think that's a great...
That's true, too. Absolutely true.
That's a great thing for him to use, because it also establishes the length of time that you've been involved in.
Right.
That this
right.
has been going on.
Anything else new?
No, I'm just...
I got your memorandum on media. You're absolutely right. It's better to have a few on the right that are yelling. Also, it'll help us from the foreign policy standpoint. We need it with the Chinese to let them think that there's some fear of the right here, you see.
I think it helps us on all scores, and it certainly can't hurt us. Your approval, I'm getting in the statements now from the veterans organizations supporting us. They're almost a little too good. But to have Meany out there, I think, is just has some very nice Machiavellian twist.
Right. Good.
One of the interesting things on political gossip that I gathered today, Steve Smith finally ran into Lou Harris at a party, and Lou said he just berated him. He said, "You've certainly wiped up the floor with Edward." That's a quote. Mm-hmm. And he said, "You've set us back 6 months." Steve then went on to say to Harris, he said, "I hope over the course of time you're going to be back with us, because we'll be in there and we're going to win the California primary."
Ah.
"We're going to win the California primary because Teddy will go out there," Edward, he calls him, "will go out there to redeem the assassination of Bobby Kennedy in California."
There you go.
And that's exactly their ploy.
That's beautiful.
And Lou is more convinced than ever that he is in there running. Lou
thinks he's going to be nominated, doesn't he?
Yeah, he said he's getting a little less certain now
after his poll.
That's after
his poll had a devastating effect, I think. Everybody talked about it, I think.
Oh, God, everybody. Ed Brooke told me that it was the talk of Massachusetts, that couldn't run into anybody who didn't talk about it. But Lou, by the way, held up his field people and kept about a third of the field poll was conducted after the China announcement.
Only a third. Oh, yeah.
Well. But, well, it's going to permit him to do an interesting thing. He's going to, when he comes up with it, show the impact, if it's favorable, which I'm positive it will be.
Well, it's going to show some up.
Oh, hell yeah.
No question. I don't know how much, but it'll show some.
Oh, I'm sure it will show up. And then he's going to start, at the end of next week, a major field survey on you personally, on the China issue, on the trial heats, which from many standpoints will probably be an excellent time for us. He's going to put him back in just as quickly as he can get him back into the...
Well, we can help fund that, you know, if you want. I don't know whether it's necessary, but when I say, I don't mean we, but
no.
Through some source, maybe through his company or something, just put in the money.
Well, we've been helping him, and he's agreeable to doing this.
Good.
He's all right.
Good.
Did you happen to see Milton Friedman's Newsweek columnist?
I heard it was good, but I didn't see it, no.
Well, it really is one of the best things written, and since Friedman is, of course, a darling for the conservatives, and we need to do some romancing there.
Yeah, well, we have a problem. You know, all of our the legislative leaders meeting me, and they're all bitching about the economy. They're so negative, these guys. You know, we presented the China thing. Not one of those leaders said a word that was saying, "Well, gee, that was a good job."
Is that right?
Not one damn leader.
You mean our own leaders? You think?
Yes, sir. These are Republican leaders. You'd think they'd hell up. Been a bunch of Democratic leaders. They've been jumping up and down saying, "That's great, Mr. President." You know.
Well, our guys are kind of dead on their.
I'd let McGregor know that was a pretty sad performance.
It's a shame. They always feel that.
Well, they always feel well. I don't know. I don't know. They don't seem to be able to appreciate anything that's going well for them. They're all just a bunch of goddamn dead asses. It's really unbelievable.
It's a sad commentary, because they should realize that they are riding right now one of the most dramatic political waves. I talked to Herb DeSimone, who's now an assistant secretary of transportation. Damn good politician.
Oh, I know. He's from
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. A nice fellow, Italian fellow.
Yes,
yeah. I remember when I was up there with him at Newport.
Oh, he's a tough politician and one of the savviest I know. I've worked with Herb since college, as a matter of fact.
What did he say? Yeah, yeah.
Well, he said it's the most electric impact he's ever seen. He said the only thing that he remembers that has created any kind of a comparable reaction was Ike's going to Korea. And he said it. He said that he traveled through New England this weekend, and
did he find reaction as he traveled?
He said that the college boy came to take his bags at the airport and said, "Gee, Mr. DeSimone, I didn't think much of the president, but that's a marvelous man you're working for." And he said everywhere he went, people are convinced. He said the dominant impression that he found was that people don't know what this means, but they know that you have a lot more things in the works and under control than they had thought. And as a result, they think there are other things. And
they also probably, the college kids, the young people, this may help us a great deal with them, and you might ask Harris particularly to poll them. The young people think, well, by God, he's really for peace.
Well, that's right. Oh, Herb made this point. He spoke to a couple of college was with a couple of young groups, and he said it was just, they're completely turned on now, where before they were very, very cool, very disenchanted. He said this has just caught them, and it's caught everybody. He said that it was the only thing people wanted to talk about. The only questions he got, the only conversation was opened on this basis. So it, it's had a whale of an impact.
Well, it probably had more than we realized, Chuck. Who knows?
I think it has, Mr. President. As we've talked about, I think it's going to rub off on other things. I'm disappointed with the legislative leaders when they can't see it. But
it eventually ought to affect the stock market. I don't know, but that's affected by other things. Arthur Burns is
I had two reports today from people who both said that that was strictly Arthur Burns, that the thing would be would be just sailing if they weren't concerned that interest rates are going to rise.
It'll eventually reflect it, though.
I'm confident.
People just feel better, I think, for a while at least. But our legislative leaders, Chuck, they've got to step up and say it. It's our own people. They, good God, the Democrats saying it isn't enough. Our legislative leaders have got to step up. It's really, that was a shocking performance today. Henry and I and George Shultz and Ehrlichman were saying after, we just shook our heads. I said, my God, they were negative, bitching about the economy and so forth. Didn't say one word about this, isn't God Almighty? I mean, there's not been an example of presidential leadership for years. I mean, they ought to be proud. They ought to be sticking their chests out. They ought to be saying, we showed those bastards.
That's right.
I'd let a few of them know, if I were you.
I have a feeling, I'll do that, Mr. President. I have a feeling that we've been, with some columnists, just using this, just posing the question, when do you remember anything that has been as dramatic and inspirational as this? And leadership by a president, and everybody stops to think, and they say, well, you're right, it was always reacting to the Berlin crisis, or reacting to
Cuban confrontation,
that this really, you have to go back to Ike's time, and you almost have to go back to the Korean trip to find something that that really caught the imagination and gave hope in the same way this has. And I think if that starts getting printed and that starts getting talked about, and one place you're going to see this show up, I'm convinced, is at the National Committee meetings in Denver this weekend.
Why don't we get it? Why don't we get, by God, those people? They ought to just be, to get all of them to talk positively, because Dole should exert more leadership in that respect.
Well, I've positively talked to Bob, and the thing that I want to do with, that I am doing with him, is sending out a whole packet of material, some stuff the Democrats, that Kennedy poll, the Gallup poll that shows that 70-odd% of the people, Democratic county leaders, expect either a close race or no better than a 50-50 chance of winning this. God damn, our people ought to get charged.
Yeah, we're not that bad off.
We're damn well off.
And Gallup, of course, is playing a little game, playing it the other way. But I think Gallup, somewhere or other, I have a feeling, Chuck, that the Kennedy people are with him.
Well,
they were in 60, you know. They got to him in 60.
Lou told me he's convinced he knows what Gallup has done. Gallup has...
Oh, did he? You asked him. What did he say?
Yeah, he said he studied his polls, and he's absolutely positive. He said his raw data... he is convinced that his raw data and Gallup's are the same.
Right.
That he is not... Gallup is not factoring down adequately the 18 to 20 year old vote and the black vote, and he said this is the only way that, I mean, if you take raw data of just people's reaction. rejection.
Well, sure.
Kennedy comes a lot stronger, but if you discount for the blacks that won't vote, for the young that won't register, and Lou said he knocks a quarter off immediately for that, of the 18 to 21.
That makes you 3 or 4 points right there.
And he said that accounts for the difference. That and the black will give you the difference. And he confirms that Gallup is really kind of very hung up on the war.
Yeah.
Maybe the China thing we'll get to.
Gallup is probably just Henry was telling me that in that connection that relates to Gallup too. He said that Hugh Seide told him that the Time Life editors were just beside themselves because they hate me so much. They said, "Why did this son of a bitch have to do this?"
Really
had more effect than we thought, hasn't it?
many sophisticated people on the Hill and off the Hill tell me that you've undermined the Dove movement. That's just gone.
They have a hell of a time. How could they say that I'm a warmonger?
No. This has really cut the ground out. I think we...
Vietnam War thing. Now, sure, we're doing our best, but what the hell? And now we don't have to sell out so cheap.
That's right. No, it's had a magnificent effect. We're going to put our minds together to...
At the staff meeting tomorrow, I mentioned to Haldeman, and he knows, but Ehrlichman probably was so outraged he will do it, but just say, and it isn't McGregor's fault, but just say, for Christ's sakes, can't... You know, I remember in the many years, the 8 years that I was in cabinet meetings, and the cabinet's been splendid, incidentally, but in legislative leader meeting and everything else, and always, you know, Eisenhower would come in on, you know, a pipsqueak little thing, and everybody, you know, would say, gee, that's great, Mr. President.
Mm-hmm.
These bastards never have done a goddamn thing except whine and cry and bitch.
Yeah.
Now, believe me, for almost 3 years, and I think McGregor ought to know this, that the whole bunch bitch, whine, cry, and never say, now they should have said, now they know that I've known this for 3 months, taken all this heat, and what the hell do they do? Just bitch. And I think you ought to let them know that tomorrow. Will you do that? Hit them hard on it and say, now, for Christ's sakes, what's the matter with him? Get a column written on it.
We should, because we need to...
It's ridiculous.
Put a little bit of life into those guys.
That's right.
They can help us if they'll get...
That's right. They ought to get off the defensive.
Yeah. Well, as Republicans, they're so damn used to it.
I know.
We ought to get out there.
Well, no, the point is that they think we always have to go ask for their support and beg them and this and that. But at the present time, we may not want to ask for their support.
Mm-hmm.
They're not much of a help.
Well, let's see if we can't kick them in the fannies and get them going.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. President.